My beloved people, the main thing this morning that I, from the bulletin, that I wish to emphasize to you is that Wednesday of this week is the Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it is also Candlemas Day, which means that we will bless candles on that day. Now we will do this, the blessing of the candles will be at the 6 o'clock Mass. But later on that same morning, there will be a 9 o'clock Mass at which our brother Luke and our Father Bernard will complete their novitiate and will be taken into the community. This at the 9 o'clock Mass. So there will be two Masses on Wednesday morning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, in today's bulletin, there is perhaps a rather strong message to our Catholic traditional world. Now, these bulletins, you may say, well, why is Father saying these things to us here? The problems that are emphasized in the bulletins sometimes are certainly not evident here in our own grouping, and I say to that, thanks be to God. But our bulletins are being sent all over the country. Our weekly bulletins are going all over the country. And the thing that is becoming more and more alarmingly evident is the tremendous amount of spiritual illiteracy that is existing and coming into evidence in traditional circles. It is almost a kind of an entrance of a real first-class superstition. And we must be very, very careful that this does not take root, that somebody has got to stand up and say, this is not right. And so that's why some of the things appear in our bulletins that you wonder sometimes, why is he saying that to us? The thing with being a religious, by religious I don't mean people who are wearing religious habits like monks and nuns and priests. Again, please remember that the only difference between those who are in religious habit and those who are not in religious habit, the only difference is that the ones wearing the religious habit have backed up their promises with a vow, which makes them doubly responsible. They've taken on this double responsibility. But that religious, everyone is called to be religious. And everyone is called to be a saint. And we must be very careful that the things that we do to promote sanctity are really bona fide things to do to promote sanctity. And we today, it was this way somewhat. Maybe to a large extent, but not at all as it is today. In former times, it was evident that the people were beginning, as their faith was beginning to weaken, they were beginning to substitute activity for faith. But today, we are going back and we are resurrecting things that have a history that goes way back, and we're more or less bringing them all together all at once. And we find our people beginning to go and looking at religion, a traditional religion, as something that we have to do in order to save our immortal souls. This is wrong. It is quite wrong. It is being traditional does not mean that we have to go and search out the archives to find out what makes people, what it is people have to do in order to save their souls. And as you yourselves know only too well, those of you who receive traditional literature, traditional journals and such like, how much space is given to religious observation? Very little. And today we have come to look upon condemnations and the debating and the proving and the anathematizing and the this and the that, that everybody else is doing wrong except me. I'm writing the article, so everybody else is wrong. Very little space is being given to religion and religious acts. And our people, on their own, without proper guidance, have become spiritually illiterate. Probably, and this might sound a bit harsh, that especially today with computerized instantaneous information, maybe some of our traditional religious leaders are also spiritually illiterate. Certainly some of our religious traditional counselors that are popping up every place nowadays are illiterate. We do not comprehend being. Over the past many weeks, we have been speaking here in terms of the Catholic experience. What is Catholic experience? This is that which is so completely forgotten today, and certainly not emphasized today anymore. We forgot about separating being with doing. And we hide behind the doing all day long for whatever reason, maybe even to escape the reality of life which envelops us at that particular time. As long as we are doing something holy, we can more, the reality of life as it surrounds us and engulfs us like a huge wave, that can be pushed aside. Only yesterday, I received a holy card. To give you one example out of dozens upon dozens and dozens of others, only yesterday, I received a holy card that was devoted to the devotion of St. Joseph, which is fine. I am very much in favor of devotion to St. Joseph. Now, this holy card was resurrected from heaven knows where and when, instructed whoever that if the prayer on the back of this holy card would be said 15 times a day, from Christmas, I believe it was, until the Feast of the Purification, whatever it is that was being asked for would be absolutely guaranteed. Now imagine stopping off 15 times a day, and that's for that one devotion. Look at how many there are amongst us who have a prayer book full of devotions that are absolutely guaranteed. And we find ourselves putting off the needs and the necessities of charity in order to run from one of these devotions to the next. We're looking at the clock all day long. Oh, it's time for this one. It's time for this one. It's time for this one. It's time for that one. It's time for the other one. You know. And there's another danger hidden in all of this. And that danger is this, that we have a tendency when we do those things to look upon our neighbor who is not doing those things. And somehow or other, whether we are aware of it consciously or not, but it's in the cranium someplace, that we consider ourselves better than the one who is not doing what we are doing. And if there's anything in the world that will tarnish everything we do, everything, it is just that. So as we are now beginning to get ready for Lent, because if Christmas comes, can Lent be far behind? As we are beginning to enter into the spirit of the occasion, that we should begin to develop proper attitudes. Why precisely are we doing what we're doing? We're doing it to become saints. That's all. We're doing it to please God. And that's all. Now when we were, for example, let us go back to the prayer card I got yesterday with the 15 times a day that we should say that prayer. What is behind our thinking when we go those 15 times to say that prayer? Is our thinking as much concerned about the pleasure that we are giving to God by stopping 15 times on that day? Is our concern as much on the pleasure that we are giving Him as it is that we are centering our attention on what gives us a feeling of fulfillment? Who, in the last analysis, is the real beneficiary of those 15 stops that we make on that particular day or the next one? You see, this business of loving God ain't quite what a lot of people have painted it to be. Our love of God must be done from acts of freedom. We must feel the freedom that is involved in an act of love. All you have to do, any of you who have ever been in love, If you've never been in love, then I'm talking to this brick post here in the middle of the sanctuary. You have no idea what I'm talking about. But if you have ever truly been in love, you will know what I'm talking about. If I am truly in love with someone, the magnificence of my love will only show itself in the freedom that I exert in demonstrating my love to the loved one. The person who has to go 15 times a day to go and say, I love you, you know, set the clock to the next time, set the clock. I've got to go back, say the prayer, 15 minutes, got to go say it, got to go do it, got to go do this, got to go do that. That person no more loves than this brick pillar does. The person, the soul, who loves. Doesn't even have to make that prayer once for that day, because the glow of love that is in that person is like a burning lamp that puts forth its light all day long. And if we truly love God, that's the way we are supposed to love God. It's not a mechanical thing. It is not a forced thing. It is something that is totally free. And He is the only one that I am thinking of. And His pleasure and His good and His benefit is the only thing that I am concerned about. That is love. Now, does that mean that the only time that this love manifests itself during that day is when I am actually making a mental something or other to demonstrate, dear Lord, now I want you to remember, I love you. Don't forget, Lord, I love you. Again, let us go to the ones who have fallen really in love with each other. They have to go about their day's work, do they not? One has to go plow the field. One has to go work in the office. One has to go carpenter a house. One has to go and be a plumber. One has to cook. One has to sew. One has to go wash clothes. One has to go do any one of all the jobs that have to be done. Does that mean that while I am carpentering the house, that my love for God is diminished during those times? And that I have to stop while I'm carpentering and go back and say one of my 15 prayers? That's ridiculous. carpentering, or plumbing, or street sweeping, or mowing the lawn, or sewing, or scrubbing, or whatever. If we love God as we are supposed to love God, then we're still praying. And we don't necessarily have to go make all kinds of acts of offering up. You know, there's also this push nowadays of making the morning offering several times a day. If you're busy, you don't have time to make the morning offering 25 times a day. If you really love, if you truly love, you don't have to make the morning offering 25 times a day. It's only those who don't know how that have to make sure that this is kept in mind. It is to you open to be saints. It is to us open to be saints. But the wrong information is being given, and people are doing all the acts of mortification, for example, all of the acts of penance, all of the fasting, all of the this, all of the that, and it's not doing him any good, because that's all external. And we're very busy these days with externalisms, you know. It's all external. We've had people condemn us. Well, what do y'all do out there? I see you're mowing the lawn, you're building a house, you're feeding the chickens, and all that. Well, I thought y'all was supposed to do some praying. Why aren't you praying? Little do they know, indeed. And we have those that come to visit us sometimes, as they come in floating in on cloud 73, which they boarded someplace, and they come crashing at our door off the cloud. And when they don't find us on the cloud floating around also, that they think that we have missed the boat. So they get back on their cloud and float some more. We've been talking about the Holy Family lately. We're still talking about the Holy Family. That's where we must go. We must visit the Holy Family. Now, it so happens, and it is in today's bulletin, I don't want to repeat necessarily today's bulletin to you, we don't know why Almighty God chose the 42nd year of the reign of Octavian Augustus for our Lord to be born. We have no earthly idea why this particular year was selected. It could just as well have been the 8th year of the presidency of you-know-who. And in both cases, we would have had the Holy Family. In either case, the Holy Family would be just as holy, just as beautiful, just as wonderful. And if the Holy Catholic, if the Holy Family, if the incarnation did take place in these our days, do you think that the Holy Family would stand out like a sore thumb and walk around like the Holy Family might have walked around in the 42nd year of the reign of Augustus Octavian? But there are those who think that that's the way it should be done. We have to be holy, and we can be holy. We can be the kind of holy that God intends for us to be holy, whether it is night, whether it is the year 2000 or the year 1. It makes no difference, because the interior being of being holy is what God is looking at. And the way we dress and the way we this and the way we that, there's too much emphasis today put on false things. And the people are becoming more and more either radical or disenchanted. In either case, it's wrong. That we should be someplace in the middle, giving honor and glory and praise to God. And the Holy Family, we should walk in, we should go visit the Holy Family. Stay with them for a week or so, or longer. They certainly won't begrudge you that. You will not wear your welcome out. And just watch them. Watch the Blessed Mother. And as you see her walking around in the beautiful modesty of Mary, and you happen to have, when you go there, one of these wearing a miniskirt maybe, don't you know, or whatever, little by little, without anybody telling you, that miniskirt's going to start getting longer and longer and longer. The Blessed Mother is not going to say to you, hey, go put on some clothes. She's not going to say a word. But the silence of her modesty is going to transform you little by little. And as you go downstairs, and you go down to help St. Joseph in the carpenter shop, and you see how he maneuvers himself around the carpenter shop in the way he does things. And perhaps he might have hit his finger with a hammer. Did he take the hammer and bust out the side windows and start cursing and jumping up and down and swearing and hooting and hollering because he hurt his finger? Not really. But you might think back on the time that you hit your finger with the hammer. And what did you do at that time? The whole world knew about it. And parts of the house had to be rebuilt because of it. Don't you know? And later on, you know, after all, if you visit the Holy Family, you should ask them to come and stay with you sometime. And they will. And they're moving around. Our Blessed Lord, our Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph. And you will begin to see from him how the one that is at the head of the family, what he is supposed to do to take the place of Christ in the family. And you will find yourself adjusting yourself just a wee bit. You're studying these people. And you might even find, you know, you can't be told, hey, you can't use a TV anymore. They're trying that in certain areas, and they're getting no place with it, which of course is to be understood. But the thing is, the only way to get rid of the TV is to decrease its importance. And as you're walking around your house with Jesus and Mary and Joseph, you will begin to notice the lack of importance of this instrument, this appliance, and your attraction will begin to cool off. And you will find beauty where you have never seen beauty before. What a tragedy that there are so many people who can walk through the desert of life and find so little of God's beauty in a little flower that is hidden someplace in the recesses of God's desert. We miss so much. And this is what this pulpit is working so hard to bring to your attention. Then we will not look at sickness as a punishment, or poverty as a punishment. I heard the story the other day. I don't have the full details of it. I haven't read it. I was just told, it was so told us, about St. Teresa, whom we talk about so often. And there was this gentleman or somebody, I don't know how he had access to St. Teresa, I haven't read the story. But apparently, this man was scoffing at St. Teresa. Well, what do you do? I never see you doing anything. She says, I work. And he laughed and laughed. He said, you work? I've never seen you work. What is your work that you talk about? And she looked at him and said very quietly, I suffer. I repeat that because the baby said otherwise. I repeat that, I suffer. That was St. Teresa's answer. And the man was completely taken off of his feet. And as the story goes, he went home and thought about it and did something about it. We are not here to walk through life on a silken pillow. We are here to love God. And this love of God demands suffering sometime. We must not be bewildered by it, because it was done by the best of us in years past. So, in preparation, and I want you to read the bulletins carefully. You can duplicate them all you want to. Send them to anybody you want to. Give them to anybody you want to. But I want you to read inside, between the lines. There is something that we're trying to say. And something that we ourselves as monks and nuns are trying to say and trying to do. And that what we are doing is not just picture book spirituality, which is 99% of the time posed anyway, but it is a group of men and women, sinners, everyone, who are trying to give a good example of mortification, of humility, of just simply trying to please God the best way they can. And hope that someone might wish to imitate and do likewise. Not necessarily in the religious life, but in whatever life. Because to love God is the most wonderful thing on earth that we can possibly do. but that is to love God. God bless you.